gotta be an idiot to bet on that parlay.
It's DTF or bust.
Put it on my mama's porch tomorrow.
Welcome back to Hold My Beth Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Park. Here with me, as always, the one, the only, DTF. This time, not holding a blue drink. This is the second time we're trying to record this because my internet decided to become a potato. But Dylan, how's it going?
I'm doing real well. The Guardians are good. My friend just got married on Eclipse Day, which was a very fun experience. Work's good. Weather's getting better. It's almost golf season. It's all good. What about you?
Yeah. Pretty much the same. I got to go to the home opener yesterday for the Guardians. Thank God we got a win. You know, they're looking good right now, other than our pitching right now is not looking the best. Right now, it's the middle of the second game with the White Sox. We're tied 5-5 at the bottom of the sixth. But, you know, Guardians are playing a lot better to start off the season, a lot better than I thought they were going to be. But major blow losing Shane Bieber, that's for damn sure.
Losing Nick Chubb in two games, losing Shane Bieber in two games.
Yeah, the Cleveland curse of injuries.
Yeah.
But we're seeing a ton of pitchers get hurt.
Yeah, and it begs me to ask the question, does any of this have to do with the impact of the pitching clock?
See, I don't know if it's so much the pitching clock. I'm not sure. I'm assuming you listened to Pardon My Takes interview with Jeff Passan.
Yeah.
I kind of agreed, actually, with what he said for once. I think a lot of it has to do with the amount of focus that a lot of these organizations now put on velocity. Like, it's like the number one thing now. How fast can you throw? How hard can you throw? So I feel like a lot of these pitchers are throwing out their arms a lot earlier than they used to, whereas you used to see pitchers more often. And there's still a decent amount of pitchers that pitch into their 40s, no problem.
Right.
But I don't think baseball careers are going to be made to last that long anymore. I think starting soon, you're going to start seeing a lot more shorter contracts with pitchers just because they're going to get started. They're going to get treated like the running back now, essentially. You got about 5-6 years of your prime, and then you're going to throw your arm out at some point.
What point do we go to coach pitch?
Oh, we got to get T-ball. Let's bring aluminum bats into the MLB. There we go.
Oh, gosh.
Now, that would be exciting. Even though I don't think there's any better sound in a sport than a wooden bat crushing a baseball.
Maybe a three-pointer that hits the bottom of the net, but I think the bat.
That's, yeah. I don't know. I was scrolling on TikTok earlier, and I saw one of Ohtani's home runs against, I think it was the White Sox. Oh, it sounded so beautiful. Just hearing the oak hit.
It is a pretty sound.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. But yeah, I it's definitely a concern, especially since we're, 2 weeks into the season now.
Mm-hmm.
It's concerning the amount of big-name pitchers we've seen now out for the year with either Tommy John or some sort of arm injury, only 2 weeks into the season. So I know a lot of people are going towards it's the pitch clock's fault. I don't really know if I believe it's part of the pitch clock. Am I saying that the pitch clock's completely innocent in this? No, I think it could have very little to do with it, but I think a lot of it comes from the focus on velocity at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Well, I mean, I thought maybe it had to do with the pitch clock just speeding up the game a little more. But I mean, in Shane Bieber's case, he was injured last year. So this wasn't like it just happened. And he probably should have had surgery last year. It was bound to happen eventually. But it just stinks that it had to happen in his last year of the contract. We could have traded him. Now he's probably not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Even though they say some pitchers come back stronger from Tommy John surgery, it's almost like it almost helps them out when they come back, which never quite made sense to me. I never understood the science behind that, but it's been proven true in a couple instances. But yeah, I don't know if that means that Bieber's going to be coming back next year, if he'll sign a cheaper deal with us or what it was or what it's going to be. But I know with this Guardian squad I would have loved to have had him this year, and you know, if they traded him, so be it. But I would have loved to have seen him play in a Guardians uniform or just play in general this season.
Oh,
So
yeah.
that's a huge loss for us.
Well, let's just hope that when it comes down to us winning the division, let's just hope we win the division by 2 games, and then you can attribute those 2 games were from Shane Bieber's wins.
There you go. There you go. I didn't think of it that
All
way,
right.
but there you go.
Find some bliss behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, anyways, since our last episode, we've actually had some pretty big news that's happened throughout the sports world. But let's go ahead and start off with March Madness is now at a complete end, even though it's April. UConn beat Purdue in the championship, after UConn beat Alabama, and then Purdue beat America's team, NC State. Did you get to watch any of these games?
No, and which is funny because I'm usually really dialed into the Final Four. I was more dialed into the women's Final Four this year.
Yeah, no, the women's Final Four was amazing. I mean, it definitely lived up to the hype, and we got some great matchups in the women's Final Four, especially that Iowa and UConn game. And then that championship game was awesome to the wire. Caitlin Clark's last game as an Iowa, they're a Hawkeye, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun. The WNBA is actually going to be relevant. Not that it's never been like super relevant, but it's gonna start to gain a lot more attention than it was before. So maybe
Yeah.
relevant wasn't the right word for that, but
They'll get more exposure.
that's more or less what I was meaning by that. So sorry if I offended anyone by that. But yeah, I'm honestly excited for it. I'm excited to see her more than likely playing for the Indiana Fever, it sounds like. I know a lot of these games that are already scheduled out, they're already planning on moving the arenas to a lot bigger arenas. Like the matchup in Vegas, I believe it's one of her first games in the WNBA. They moved it from the arena that the Aces play in to T-Mobile, which I think is where the Golden Knights play. So I could,
The Vegas Golden Knights, yeah.
yeah, so I could sit 8,000 more people. And
That'd be sweet.
you know damn well that would be sold out.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you're saying, it's gonna give more exposure. People were arguing that she should go play in that big three league because she was guaranteed $5 million. And, the WNBA doesn't have the money to pay the players that type of money. But here's my theory behind it. All it takes is to get people in the seats. And if Caitlin Clark is going to be the reason that the WNBA gets money, this could be good for them in the future. So she should go and trailblaze this league. And I know we said the same thing about Sabrina Ionescu. And there's been other players in the past who've been generational talent. But there's something about the hype behind Caitlin Clark of today's basketball game that just makes me think that we're trending in the right direction for women's basketball. I think that you might see cities look to expand and get more exposure, get more more teams in the league. I mean, this is going to be a big deal.
Oh yeah, and Sabrina is awesome, but I've never seen a women's basketball player be able to shoot the way Caitlin Clark does. Just pull up from the logo. She's absolutely awesome to watch. Granted, do I think she could play in the NBA? I think that's silly when people start talking about that. I think she's an amazing basketball player and is going to be awesome for the WNBA. But yeah, I think she's just on a completely different level than Sabrina at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I hope that they have her in the All-Star Weekend 3-point contest next year.
Oh yeah, have her go against someone like Damian Lillard or if they want to bring Curry back, which I think that'd be awesome. Caitlin Clark versus Steph Curry.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Imagine if they did. I don't know how they haven't thought of this. Having like a, like a event where they just have a big 3-point contest, like have Steph Curry and you could even do Klay Thompson if you really want to keep the Splash Brothers together. Versus like Caitlin Clark and Sabrina and who makes the most threes, do a 3-point contest for like a charity event. I mean, that would gain a ton of exposure. It'd be great for whatever charity they donate that to. I think an event like that in the off season would be awesome.
Yeah.
But I definitely hope that they have that event during All-Star Weekend as well, that they did this year, because that, in all honesty, that was the best part of All-Star Weekend.
I agree. I was scrolling because I didn't actually watch it, so I just was like tuning in on my Instagram, and I kept scrolling my feed trying to find any sort of video between the two of them. That was the one I was looking forward to most, aside from the dunk contest, which has just progressively got worse, as we've talked about.
Yeah. But while we're still talking about Caitlin Clark, did you see any of the comments that she got after losing the championship and just overall throughout this whole Final Four weekend from previous WNBA players and the lady that held the record before Caitlin Clark for the scoring record?
Yeah, I didn't think that was necessary.
I don't understand it, because Caitlin Clark is building your guys' sport up. I thought it was completely out of pocket.
It was very selfish.
Very selfish and very backwards. Like, Caitlin Clark is being ref. She's being. I'm trying to find the right word for it. She's basically uplifting the sport that you guys always wanted to uplift. And I don't know if it's just jealousy or what it is, because Caitlin Clark was able to do it and they weren't.
Right.
So I don't know if that's where that comes from or what it is, but I just thought it was completely out of pocket and pretty much bullshit at the end of the day. But anyways, back to the men's Final Four. I thought we had great matchups. Purdue and NC State, it was pretty one-sided for the most part.
Yeah.
They just couldn't compete at the end of the day with Purdue as much as they wanted to. The UConn-Alabama game was actually very good. The final scoreboard definitely doesn't speak for the game, because it was going back and forth the entire game. And then UConn just lit them up at the end. Once Alabama started missing, they just lit them up. Which, I mean, that Alabama program was awesome this year. They were awesome throughout this whole Final Four. But UConn just was on a different level. Even last night's game in the championship, I was actually a little bit worried for UConn at one point because they started getting in really bad foul trouble, and Zach Edey was getting whatever he wanted, but they showed their game plan. They were perfectly fine with Edey going off and just getting a bunch of dunks and everything. As long as Purdue was not making three-pointers, UConn was fine with it. But man, that UConn team, now that they're back-to-back champions, they have to go down as one of the best college teams to ever exist.
Yeah, it's crazy because Dan Hurley said back in 2020, basically like, we're gonna fucking do this, and they went back to back 22 or 23, 24. That's impressive.
Yeah, apparently my Zoom just gave it a thumbs up too.
I saw it.
But yeah, no, that UConn team was awesome to watch. I know their big man's going to be joining the NBA here this year, more than likely. He's projected to be a top five pick, and he's going to be awesome in the league. Nothing crazy. But I mean, I think I could see him being like a Porzingis, but slightly more athletic. I think he's 7 foot. Yeah, he's easily over 7 foot.
Yes.
But yeah, I thought he was awesome. I can't wait to see Castle get in the NBA. Newton, who I found out is Aaron Jones's cousin. I did not know
Oh.
that. In the NFL, that is his cousin. So I thought that was cool.
It's a fun fact.
Yeah. But a lot of people are thinking that Hurley's gonna be leaving UConn, since one of the other breaking news, which I thought was really, really weird timing and kind of stupid, but and John Calipari kind of always loves the spotlight, in my opinion. And he decided to leave Kentucky for Arkansas.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be Dan Hurley? Is that why you're saying that?
I don't think it will be Dan Hurley, but I know that the school's supposedly going to be offering him an offer he can't turn down. Dan Hurley staying at UConn. You're not pulling him away from that school. Not yet, at least.
I know part of my take would like Rick Pitino to go back to Kentucky.
I would say there's a better chance of that happening than Dan Hurley going to Kentucky. I would say literally unless they offer Dan Hurley like $20 million a year, which won't happen because and John Calipari I think is now getting $10 million a year, if I'm not mistaken. I know I put him right up with Billy Self, so I think he's just above whatever Billy Self makes at Kansas. But yeah, honestly, what do you even do if you're Kentucky? Because I saw some very interesting debates. They were like, what, in all honesty, you could put anyone there, any coach there, and they would get you at
Yeah.
least the same results as Calipari did, just with the Kentucky brand, honestly. The school sells it, the school's basketball program sells itself.
Yeah, I mean that's gonna be very much like Alabama losing Nick Saban. I think Nick Saban's a little more successful
Oh,
than
way more successful.
Kentucky's been in the past at least let's just say 10 years. But Alabama football is going to sell. It's not going to be just because Nick Saban.
Right. Granted, the thing I'll give Saban is that he has the championships to back up, whereas Calipari has only won one championship and hasn't made a Final Four since 2015.
Yeah, was the championship 2012? Or
Yeah,
2013, 2012.
2012 or 2013. I want to say it was 2012 because it was Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
And I want to say 2015 was Karl-Anthony Towns.
That's right.
Yeah. But Which is crazy to think Cat's been in the league that long. Same with Anthony Davis. Yeah, makes me feel old.
We are old.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was a really weird move. I know people were saying that Calipari had connections with Arkansas from some connection he had with some billionaire that is from the University of Arkansas. I don't know how much I buy into it, other than they offered him a paycheck and he said, yeah, it doesn't matter to me. I just want paid.
Yeah, I mean, this is what kind of what we talked about was he's not going to get fired, but he's definitely going to get run out of town. So it's going to be up to him retiring or resigning. And I think they're both mutually saying like it's time for you to go. And
Yeah.
what better timing than to get a big contract from Arkansas?
Yeah. I think he was just gonna feel out the market and, first big biter, go for it. Whoever's gonna give him his payday. He has the name to recruit for himself, and I know Kentucky's lost a lot of their recruits from high school this year already. So curious to see if they're gonna be following him to Arkansas or what they're gonna decide to do. So kind of a tough break for their basketball program, but at the same time, it's time for a new era. You haven't made any progress in the bracket in what, 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, they've been like first round exits the last 5 years, I believe.
Yeah. No matter how many NBA players you produce, first round picks, if you don't make it anywhere in the bracket, are you really doing your job?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to develop draft picks, granted they're getting rid of the G League Ignite team, but go coach in the G League. Go coach overseas somewhere for some program if you just want to do player development. But I don't know. I don't think he has what it takes to win basketball games come tournament time anymore. I don't think he cares enough or wants it bad enough. It at least didn't seem like it again in that game against Oakland. Yeah, it
No,
all the talent you needed.
that game.
Yeah. That was still one of my favorite games of this whole March Madness season.
Yeah, that one and JMU Wisconsin were my two favorites.
Yeah, that was my fit. That was one of my favorites. My second favorite was, I'm looking at the bracket right now just to look them all over. A really good one was it really enjoyed the UConn Alabama game just because it was so back and forth the entire time. And then even though I lost money on it, Creighton and Oregon was also really fun to watch for a second round game. I mean,
Yeah.
three overtimes or two overtimes.
Can't bet the teams in green.
Yeah, green and yellow. Got to avoid them for right now. But yeah, March Madness is now done. Actually, really looking forward to college basketball next year, and I've never really said that before. Never have been huge into college
It
basketball
always takes
either.
me a while.
Yeah, other than, the end of the season when it's tournament time. That's the only time I've really ever really gotten into it, other than just if a game's on. But I might try to follow it a little bit more next year. Who knows?
Yeah, I go in waves. It just depends on if there's a generational talent or if there's somebody that I've been following since high school, like Alonzo Ball. Or like Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon,
Yeah,
Austin
Michael
Rivers
Porter.
back in the day.
I was following Michael Porter Jr. pretty heavy. And then my big one that I remember the most is Jason Tatum. I remember following his basketball career since he was a freshman in high school.
Well, one of my good friends in high school and one of my college roommates was a big Kentucky fan. So all through high school, we had to pay attention to Kentucky because we knew like he was a big fan. So it was always like you're supporting him by supporting them. So always watched and loved watching those Kentucky teams like the Davis team and the Cat team. John Wall team was one of my favorites.
Yeah, John Wall was electric in college. And then his beginning years, when he was first in the league, he was one of my favorite players.
Yeah, me too. That was actually my first 2K game that I got was 2K10. And when you did like a My Career, you usually got drafted to the Wizards because they had the number one pick with John Wall. And I think they had the 10th overall pick that year. So you either got picked first or 10th, I believe. And so you'd always get stuck on the Wizards with John Wall. And if you're a guard, you're battling with him for point guard minutes, but
Yeah, that was when, my career was still a challenge. You actually had to work for your draft stock.
it was also fun. Like I hate how it is now with like the storylines, and
Well, I hate
it's
that you
just like
choose your team now.
yeah, I liked when it was random. Like you gotta go to the combine. And you gotta win at like summer game and
Yeah,
show out.
now it's too much storyline, which is something I've been enjoying with MLB The Show this year. Is it at least gives you the option you can take the combine route and actually grind for your draft stock, or you can just pick what team you want to play on. And that, what the hell's the fun in that? I wanted to play for some random team. But since we're talking about basketball in the NBA. Bronny James has decided to enter the transfer portal while entering his name in the NBA draft. I don't know how I feel about that.
Something tells me that wasn't his decision.
No, you're probably right.
I don't know if I'm him, why you'd want to rush going to the NBA yet.
Yeah, I don't see the point in it.
Because he's going to get dropped into a G League situation or a two-way contract. He's not going straight to the league.
No way. I could easily see him pulling his name out of the NBA draft. I think he should, at least realistically. I think he should. If he wants to transfer somewhere else, go ahead. Even though they now have USC has Arkansas's coach, who has proven to be pretty good, minus the down year this year, but I think he needs to go to a program, whether it's even though they didn't start off the best once they made that coaching change with Diebler, Ohio State, come back home, come to Columbus, fulfill your dad's legacy that he would have had at Ohio State, possibly. They're talking about getting his cousin, so, or LeBron, yeah, I guess that would be his cousin. What's his name? Michi Johnson. Or where it may be that, Bronny wants to go, but I don't think he's ready for the NBA. I know I've been seeing reports saying, oh, his defense is there. There's a lot more to basketball than just defense.
Yeah, I
You could
mean,
tell any NBA player all you got to do is play defense if you want to, stay in the league. All you got to do is play defense. Anyone can do that.
yeah, the only thing that he's got going for him is his name. Because,
His
I
name
mean,
in
if it works,
NIL deals.
huh?
His name in NIL deals.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing about his name, if he was to go to the NBA, is what I'm saying, is he knows that any team's going to be pushing to get him because they want LeBron as well. And if you get Bronny, you get LeBron.
Yeah, but Man, I don't know. If you only get 1 year of LeBron and you got to move around your whole team for it, is it really
I
worth
mean,
it to be back?
unless you're somebody who's on the outside looking in, like if you're like an Orlando Magic where you're really only one or two pieces away, why not?
Yeah, that's true. As long as you wouldn't have to give up a ton. Yeah, and LeBron has full
Like in the
range.
Magic's case, you'd have to give up what, like one of the Wagner brothers?
Yeah, I mean, if that, I mean, they're still on rookie contracts.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't think the Magic really have money tied into anyone other than like Cole Anthony. Orlando would be sick though with LeBron. Paolo Banchero. Shoot, even if you had Wagner, you'd 100% get rid of Markelle Fultz. Who I think is a free agent too this year. So that money would be off the books. They're kind of set up for it. I didn't even think about the Magic really.
What I'm saying. It just makes sense to me.
That would be awesome if you called that. And LeBron plays for the Orlando Magic. Oh, I just saw myself spit.
Reverse Shaq went
Reverse.
from the Lakers to the Magic. And the Heat.
He could play
And
for.
the Cavs.
Yeah, I don't know if the Cavs is gonna happen. Even though that would be awesome to have, Bronny on the Cavs. Whatever.
It would be so.
I wouldn't want to go out of my way for it, but if it fell in my lap, I would take it.
It just feels like a cheating boyfriend who keeps coming back when things aren't good with his new girlfriend. Like,
Right.
how many times are we gonna take him back?
Yeah. Joel Embiid is now back in action, and he also is now the official face of Skechers basketball division. Fun fact.
Yeah, those are ugly.
Yeah, not a fan. Isaiah Thomas is officially back in the NBA after his 10-day contract with the Suns. The Suns decided to keep him around for the rest of the year. So, welcome Caitlin back to the NBA.
Nice.
Yes.
Congrats.
Yes. She's very excited.
She's so little.
I know. The Hawks also, there's a bunch of rumors, even though these rumors have been going on for a couple seasons now, pretty much since this duo has been together. But the Hawks, they sound like they're going to either be trading Trae Young or DeJounte Murray. I don't know which one I think is going to happen more likely, because I almost feel like I want to say Trae Young's more likely, because you're going to get a lot more for him than you are DeJounte Murray, and you've got Murray on a pretty solid contract.
Yeah, I can see Trae Young getting traded.
Yeah, and he just kind of seems like he wants out before he gets the treatment of he doesn't care about winning. And in the biggest news, I would say that we surprisingly have not talked about yet. Was the Bills deciding to shock the world and trade Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans out of nowhere? Always knew it was a possibility, but I didn't know if it was actually going to happen. Yeah, special teams, special plays, special players. The evil Mr. Beast.
What?
The evil Mr. Beast. Have
The
you ever
evil
watched
Mr.
Sketch before?
No.
No? Oh. You'd always say, I'm a bad man. I'm Bad Will. I'm the evil Mr. Beast.
Yeah, I've never watched him, and I think it's crazy how fast he blew up.
Oh, he's hilarious. I've been watching him for a few months now. He's hilarious. Big in the Madden community.
Yeah, I have a hard time watching streamers.
I only watch clips. I'll occasionally tune into a stream, but other than that, what do you think of the future of the Bills, and what does this do for the Texans now that they officially have their number one receiver?
I think that as long as he likes his quarterback and the quarterback throws to him and there's no drama, I think it'll be great. But Nico Collins is CJ's boy. Tank Dell is CJ's boy. Now you throw in Stephon Diggs. I don't know how this is going to work. You got three really good receivers, but Stephon Diggs is at the end of his career. Like, I couldn't believe how old he was when I saw he's over 30.
Oh yeah. I think this is huge. I think if anything, this takes a ton of pressure off of Nico Collins and Tank Dell,
Yeah.
because you're gonna have to double one of them. So I think this is gonna be huge for them both. Also, they redid Stephon Diggs' deal where he's only on a 1 year deal now rather than his remaining 3 years of his deal with Buffalo. And Buffalo decided to just take the entire cap hit, which was insane. So essentially, he's not on the Houston Texans books. He's just playing for the team.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a win-win. I mean, this now, instead of Diggs being on a comfortable deal where no matter how good or how bad he plays, he gets his money. Now it's yeah, we're gonna trade all this for you, but we're gonna make it a prove it year. So if you don't pan out, you're screwed.
Yeah, I mean, they got a full lineup with Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs now. That's going to help tremendously, I think. I don't want to say that the Bills are screwed just yet, because when you have Josh Allen, he is an alien, and I think they're going to be just fine. But it stinks that their number one receiver is Curtis Samuel right now.
Yeah. I'm not liking the odds on the Bills right now, especially losing both Gabe Davis. You know, if they would have even just kept Gabe Davis, I feel like that would have done a ton for them. But I think they're a prime candidate now to do something in the draft. I wouldn't even be surprised if they trade up in the draft to go get one of these top receivers. You know, start young. And try to get some good weapons through the draft.
Could you imagine Marvin Harrison Jr. on the Bills? It
Oh, that'd be disgusting.
wouldn't happen though, because I don't think they'd
I
give
don't
up
think they
three
would get
first
that
rounders.
far.
No.
Yeah, no. I don't think they'd be able to make it that far up. That do I think they could go get a like an Odunze or a Neighbors even maybe? Possibly. I think if anything, I would want Odunze because he has proven to be able to play in some colder weather.
Yeah, what about Romeo from Michigan?
That wouldn't be a bad one, and I mean they could get that with their second round pick.
Oh, the Guardians are fucked.
What happened?
Oh, man. Okay,
Happened.
they had a guy. He had a guy going for a triple. They got him out at third, but they gave up 2 runs, 7-5.
Oh, Jesus.
He hit a blooper in the center field and he missed it and it hit the wall. So he got a double, but he got out sliding for a triple.
Yeah, it looks like the bases are cleared now.
Yep.
Only one game. Only one game. We're 8-2 right now, so.
I know.
Just sucks because the White Sox are terrible.
Yeah, they won win.
Yeah.
But that goes to show, I mean, we're nothing without our pitching.
Oh, yeah. No, our hitting isn't there. Without a Josh Naylor or Stephen Kwan bailout, Menace has been playing a lot better this year, though, so far. So
Yeah.
I'll give that to him. I also want to see them play Freeman more. I like Tyler Freeman a lot.
Yeah, he's been pretty solid.
Yeah. Nothing crazy, but you know, it He's consistent. I'll give him that. He's consistent. He's consistency, and he's pretty solid ball player, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah.
But other than that, Dylan, do you have anything else that you wanted to talk about on this podcast before we close out?
As we talked about when we were signing on, we mentioned a little something about a blue drink. I did mention that there's a hint to something going on, that there might be some Three Blue Milks this week. So if you're listening to this as it came out today, there will be a Star Wars Saturday recorded tomorrow night. And you can find that on the Refill and Chill Spotify page or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And we will be going over the Bad Batch, some other fun things like a mango fed themed beer from Iowa. So if you're a fan of Star Wars, you're a fan of us, head over to Refill and Chill. But other than that, I don't have anything else.
All right. I don't either. But I'm looking forward to recording that with you tomorrow in person. Have ourselves some mango fete. Maybe I'll even get our reaction and put it on hold my bev and shout out mango fete, and then Dave for supplying us and hooking us up with the mango fete. But other than that, guys, that's gonna do it for this episode of the podcast. Make sure that if you guys enjoyed this episode, that you leave a like, and you subscribe to our channel. It helps us out a ton. You know, keeps us motivated to do this. Me and Dylan both enjoy doing this every week, and we look to keep doing it. I also appreciate the support that you guys left on our last short. Even though I saw one hate comment in there, you know, the hate comments don't bother me, but it was
Keep
some
on
it,
hating.
it was funny. It was funny.
Keep on hating. I love
Yeah,
the
keep on
haters.
hating. Keep on hating, man. Keep on hating. I love it. I mean, I would appreciate more love than hate, but anyways, make sure that you subscribe if you enjoyed this episode. And subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it's YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it, go subscribe. Until next time, we're signing out. Peace.
Peace.